of course, it's been a real thrill for Virginia and I to be with you and to get to know you and fellowship with you in the Lord. And we are certainly grateful that God has sent us down here just to, nothing else, just for the privilege of getting to know you and being involved with you in the things of the Lord here. I like the idea of ending this particular part of the conference with the wheel, because I think it kind of wraps everything together and brings a lot of things that we have said into perspective. A lot of people get the idea that you're saved by grace, and then you're glorified by grace. In other words, you're saved here after redemption. And then there comes a time when God takes you to be with himself. But you were saved by grace, but you grow by works. And this whole thing here is a big, long struggle full of, you know, a lot of work. Well, that's not true. You are saved by grace. You grow by grace. You're glorified by grace. Everything that happens to you is grace. There's nothing of works in anything. And the process of sanctification is simply the application of my life to God's means of grace. The sacraments are a means of grace. The Word of God is a means of grace. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace. Prayer is a means of grace. Let us come into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help, and so on. It's all grace. But the application of our lives, the diligent application of the means of grace, this brings about growth. Now, in the physical life, you have certain things. You have food. You have oxygen. You have rest. You have exercise. These are all essential to a well-balanced physical life. Without food, eventually, you're going to die. Without oxygen, you're going to die. Without rest, you're going to die. You just go, go, and go, and go, and pretty soon, the person can collapse from that. Exercise. Imagine a newborn baby. Bring them home, put them in the crib, and it never moves. Lies there absolutely still. It wouldn't last long, because the body needs the exercise, you see. Well, in the spiritual life, there are also certain phases. The Word of God is likened unto food. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Oxygen can be likened unto prayer. Because when we pray, we do two things. Our lives are cleansed through the process of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And also, when persons pray, there's a certain power that they take into their lives from the throne of grace, from God Himself. Well, so it is with breathing, you see. You breathe out that which is impure, and you take in that which is pure. The two-way thing. And so it is with prayer. Rest. Well, rest can be likened unto obedience. There's a passage in Isaiah 48:14. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my word. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Or Isaiah 57:20-21. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. From Hebrews 3, 10 and 11, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Obedience is a means of rest for the Christian. The Christian who is living a disobedient life, inside he is not at rest. There is an unrest of soul. And of course, exercise, witnessing. Go into all the world and preach the gospel and all. Well, these things here, just as they like, as they coincide with physical, so there's a certain order to them. And this order, of course, is a wheel illustration that we've all seen. That is supposed to be a round wheel. The Word of God is the foundational spoke of the wheel for a good reason. Without the Word, we would not even know that we are to pray, let alone what to pray. We wouldn't know what that thing is, prayer. Without the Word, we wouldn't know what to obey. And without the Word, we would have no witness. So the Word of God is the foundational spoke. Proverbs 28:9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. These two seem to be tied together somehow in that verse. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. And you come up to the prayer spoke, 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, Christ. We receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You find them all being tied together here. Now Christ must be the hub. Christ is the hub. Galatians
Galatians 2:20.
I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. John 15:7 says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. See, we all tied together. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the life of disobedience, the Lord will not hear me. And you find these things all tied together, all a part of one thing. Remember 1 John 3:22? And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Well, witnessing is not a means of fellowship. Witnessing is a result of fellowship. This is kind of a barometer. This sort of tells you how the other things are going along. And if you find that this is falling off, the thing to do is not, you know, sort of get after yourself and say, I should be a better witness and whip yourself and get all mad at yourself and try to pump up some sort of witnessing thing. The thing to do is get over here. Say, where am I falling down here anyhow? How about my time in the Word? And check your time in the Word. Check that old hand illustration. Prayer. Check that out. See how my prayer life is coming along. Am I living in sin? Do I have some sort of sin, unconfessed sin in my life? This is where to check if this is weak. Now this is a witness by the lip. This is your witness by your life. Christ the hub bears the weight, furnishes the power. These three things all tied together, interdependent on one another. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. They're all tied together, you see. Over and over and over in Scripture, you find these three intermingled. Now, these things are not just little isolated entities for themselves. There's a reason for all these things. They all have a part of something greater, something larger. Man's chief end. Do you have the catechism over here? What is man's chief end? Does anyone know that answer? Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Glorify God. Anyone know a verse on that? That is your chief end in life? Say it again. Would you like to give it to us?
But know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which is of God, which you're not your own. For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit.
Right. Man's chief end is to glorify God. Isaiah 43:7. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. Now man was also created in the image of God, in his image. he was created for fellowship with God. Do you know of anyone who has ever glorified God with every thought, word, and deed of his life, every minute of his life? Jesus Christ. He is the only one. John 17:4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I have glorified thee on the earth. Now Romans 8:29 says that we should be conformed to the image of his Son. This is the reason why God has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. 1 Corinthians 3:18, I believe it is. 1 Corinthians 3:18. We grow more and more and more into his image, and we're transported to him, into his image by the Spirit of God. Now, how do you become like a person? You become like a person, as Joe told us the other morning, by being with that person. By being with the person. And so the verse that Joe gave us is 1 Corinthians 4:9. But God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now how do you fellowship with a person? Well, conversation. God speaks to us through his word. We speak to him in prayer and we have this fellowship. Now there's one other thing that we shouldn't leave out. There is no fellowship with a superior outside of obedience. You've got a job and the boss says, do this. And you say, how would you like to go climb a wheel? There's no fellowship with the Spirit outside of obedience. I mean, when he says it, you have to do it. That's the way you maintain fellowship with the Spirit. Now, Jesus Christ is very much our superior. So, this taken for granted, then, obedience, that, you know, we just accept that as a fact. The way that you fellowship with a person is through the word and prayer. The way that you fellowship with Christ. And as you fellowship with Christ, you become like Christ. You take on more and more and more of his characteristics. And as you become like Christ, then you have more and more and more of this thing within you that glorifies God, because your life is conformed more and more and more into the image of his Son. So the navigators come along and they begin to beat little drums. See, whenever we land in an airplane, we have certain drums that we beat, certain hobby horses that we ride, little drums we carry along. See, my baggage was too, I mean, I had too much stuff for the hobby horse. I only brought my little drum. So we say, scripture memory.
man's chief end is to glorify God. Prayer. So we talked to you about prayer. So that you can earn the fellowship with Christ. So that you can be conformed to his image. So that you can glorify God. I mean, it just so happens that I do have other sermons in this book. There are other things I could talk to you about. But I know what you need. This is what you need. I know the reason you need it. And the reason I know it is because that's what I need. This is what I need. You understand that?
Now, one more minor little thing.
E.M. Bounds, in his little book called Power Through Prayer, says the church is looking for better methods. God is looking for better men. The church is looking for better methods. God is looking for better men. Acts 6:3. This verse of the choosing of these men to take care of this problem that had arisen. Seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom they may appoint over this business. I'm going to take the next 5 minutes to talk to you about something that we should take an hour and 5 minutes on. But just to toss it out for your further consideration and study. The reason I do this is because in the States, we have an imbalance developing among some people on what it means to be full of the Holy Ghost. There's words being tossed around, and there's ideas being disseminated, and unscriptural use of scriptural words are being sort of used, and then some of our gang are getting a little confused and are wondering what it's all about. Now, if you'd like to turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Let's see, Alan, do you have there? All right. When I kind of give you the word, would you start reading with verse 16 and then read a verse or two, and then I'll stop you, and then I'll read a verse or two, and then you read a verse, and then I'll read. I'll sort of give you the nice one to stop. But you just start reading in just a minute. I'll read in another place. Give me just a minute to find it here. Start reading with Colossians 3:16.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
Okay, thank you. I'll read one here. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Keep speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord.
Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged.
And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service, as men please us, but in singleness of heart, fearing God.
Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men please us, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And we could go on here, but you get the idea, don't you? This is a parallel passage. This is saying the same thing right down, a parallel passage. Alan started his passage with, be filled with the Word. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. This passage started out, be filled with the Spirit. Now look at John 6:63. I started reading Ephesians 5 about verse 18. Now John 6:63 has an interesting statement concerning this. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit, and they are life. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit, and they are life. So I submit to you that one of the aspects of being filled with the Holy Spirit, and by the way, that word filled is the Greek word kleru, which means control. It doesn't mean to fill up to the point where you can't hold it anymore. That is not the idea. It means control. Controlled by the Holy Spirit. So, one aspect of being controlled by the Holy Spirit is the Word of God. Now, there's a passage in Acts 4. The people are praying for boldness. Acts 4:29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and spake the word of God with boldness. I submit to you that there is no control of the Holy Spirit of a man's life who does not pray. Prayer is an integral part of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 5, verse 32, it says, and so also the Holy Spirit, whom the Father hath given to them that obey him. Now, I'll ask you a simple question. Is it possible for a man to live a life who is controlled by the Holy Spirit, who is living in disobedience? I mean, if I am living my own way, my own doing my own acts and living a life of disobedience, God does not have control of me. God has control of the person who is obeying him. Do you understand that? Now, have you ever heard of the word prayer and obedience before? Stick to the wheel. Don't let yourself get sidetracked in things that sound good on the surface. Promises that might leave you just a little bit unfulfilled as the time goes on. Stick with the word, prayer, and obedience. And let the overflow of that be a life of witness. And remember that this is simply a means of fellowship with Jesus Christ, so that Jesus Christ can conform you more and more and more into his image, and you can bring glory to God on this earth. So much for the wheel. There's quite a bit in that wheel, you know. And if we had more time, we could take more time, but we don't. So let that word pray. Lord, we thank thee for this simple illustration of the Christ-centered, Spirit-filled life. We pray, Lord, that we might be Christ-centered, Spirit-controlled men and women. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.